not necessarily us that needs to change. It might be the situation that needs to change. And I think there's like that quote about might not be the flower. It's just, is the flower in the right pot in the right sun? Like, it's just, let's try to move that around, because it might, if you have a flower in like the basement, it's probably not going to grow as well as at the front window or outside or whatever. So yeah, that's definitely something I've kept in mind. But
What happens when a woman who's always hustled finally hears that quiet inner voice saying, "There's got to be a better way"? This week, I sat down with Melissa. Now, I've known her and her rock star husband for years. Always respected her fire, her perspective, and how she works hard without losing sight of what really matters. She's the creator of something called the High Class Hustle. And trust me, this isn't some fluff. It's about building a business and life that feels good. Like actually good. Sales that don't steal your soul. A vision that includes kids, travel, dinner dates, and imagination. We talk about motherhood, the hard years, the moments when your dreams feel too far away to even think about, and what it feels like when the light starts to come back on. This was a powerful conversation. It's honest, it's optimistic, and it might just give you permission to ask, what does your version of high class look like? I really enjoyed this one. Let's dive in.
So my first question is a little more casual, because I know you so well that you work your ass off, but you say that you've traveled to 49 countries. How did you fit in all the traveling, or how do you balance this out?
Yeah, it's been, I think it's actually probably more than that now. I haven't calculated it a long time. It's something that I started when I was quite young. So I went on a trip with, like, my first trip backpacking when I was 20, and we went to Europe. So Europe, it's easy to bang out a few countries, and we traveled over 3 months. So that was one. And then that kind of got me hooked. And then I was like, okay, I need to make money again to be able to do this more and more. So that's what I did. I went to work. And then whenever I had a job or was working with a company and they were like, okay, we only give you like 1 week vacation, I would quit and take like a 3 month vacation and then go find another job. So that's how I weaved it into my youth, I'll call it. But I did a whole kind of round the world trip over just over 3 months by myself. And I just started working my way over. So I did start in Europe and ended up in Southeast Asia. I went to Australia, New Zealand, and came back around the earth that other way. So yeah. And then it's just been a priority. Like, I really enjoy it. So I've never been to Central America. So we're looking at maybe Nicaragua here in January. So yeah, I'm always looking for something to do. But then now that I have kids, it's finding that balance of, okay, what's safe enough for the kids? Are the flights going to be complete hell? What does everything look like? And your kids are a bit older than mine now, but the car seats and all of that, you have to incorporate.
I just had heart like a flux of anxiety just when you're talking about it, the thought of,
yeah.
But when you're with kids and you're traveling, it just starts with a commitment though of we're going for it. And then next thing you know, you're in the airport and you got the cart with the car seats and the playpen, because it's a special playpen because Timmy doesn't sleep only in his own playpen with the...
Yeah, we're lucky. Like, we actually co-slept with our kids, which makes that easier. And now they've moved on from our bed. But yeah, so that we don't need, but we do need the car seats. And we, even our last trip, we did completely carry on because we were being too frugal and we didn't want to pay like 100 US for each bag. So we're like, all right, pack it all. We got 4 carry-ons. Let's go. So
yeah. Well, it only gets better, and it gets kind of better. Our kids are 7 and 9, and we did Portugal and France in May, and having no car seats for the rent a car, and no, like, they can, you can tell them we're going this direction and they do. And so that's
a little more agreeable.
Yeah. A little more agreeable. So is there a mechanism that you use in your practice of deciding to do something that is a go-to for you to help make a decision, other than I got all these projects, I got to just work. Like, I want to do this thing, but then if it never gets planned, so at some point there's we're going somewhere, like maybe it's a trip, maybe it's buying something, maybe it's whatever. Like, what's your go-to for making that decision of just pulling the trigger?
Yeah, I guess I would say, well, Mike and I were both like dreamers. I would say I'm a little bit more like process in my decision making. Like, of course, we'd love to have an avocado farm in California, but let's break that down. Is that really aligned with what we want?
Yeah.
You kind of bring it down. And for us, to go back to the traveling example, like, that's something that's important to us. Seeing new countries is very cool, but also we're willing to recognize where we are in our life as a family, like we do have young kids. So how far do we want to go? What's the right flight and what's going to make sense? So Nicaragua, we've been looking into, it seems approachable. We've adjusted our lifestyle. So I guess let me back up there because we wanted to be able to travel with our kids. That was a priority. So we've changed kind of what we've been doing to make sure we're both working remotely so that we can do that and take longer trips. Because you're not going to go to Nicaragua for a week. That doesn't make sense because it is a bit of a haul to get there. So we want to go for at least probably 3 weeks or longer so that we can alternate working there and maybe get some support while we're there and just try to find a way to make that happen. And that's been our goal previously. And so then we're like, okay, let's look at this year. We want to go somewhere in January because winters in Alberta are harsh. And we just recently moved back here a couple of years ago as I used to live in beautiful Kelowna. So yeah, it's just a matter of making those compromises. And that's another reason why we moved here. So we had more spending money so we can travel. So all these kind of micro decisions lead up to what's our plan. We want to be able to show our kids the world, travel more, and of course, grow with our careers and financially at the same time. I don't know if I even answered the question, but I think it really all breaks down to that, right? Like you think of the ideal goal and then you make these micro decisions to get you to that goal.
Yeah. Can you comment on the feast or famine you mentioned of like income? And again, you came from sort of what I knew from a real estate background, and then maybe help us understand what setting that structure up looks like.
Yeah, for sure. So I worked in real estate like for a long time, and that is the feast and famine. Like you're going to get a bunch of deals. You're not going to get a bunch of deals. People don't want to move in the winter. It is always, okay, you got a big paycheck. Okay, but this is going to have to last me 3 months because the market might go down or up or whatever. So you have to manage your money and make sure you're almost, I guess that's why I'm still frugal, because you're like, okay, when am I going to eat again? But at the same time, I've tried to build out systems so that you're maybe doing a lot more outreach during that time, or so that it starts to balance itself out. And when I was in Spain working with a lot of entrepreneurs, because I find entrepreneurs are really good at whatever it is, a baker, a hairdresser, whatever, they're good at the actual thing, building robots, whatever, but they've never really been able to or wanted to do sales and marketing, or probably even be an accountant for their business. They're like, I know how to bake the best cupcake. It's great, but who's going to eat it if nobody knows about you, right? Nobody knows the best cupcake exists. So yeah, a lot of that was like, I worked with a lot of companies like that, trying to figure out, okay, you don't just want to sell cupcakes for birthday parties, because then you might only sell cupcakes on the weekends, because that's when people have birthday parties. You have to, again, break it back to how are we going to fill your calendar so people are buying cupcakes every night? Is there a way to market that? Is there a way to sell that? So there is less of that feast and famine or up and down cycle, and it starts to level out because people want to go take their kids out for cupcakes instead of ice cream on a hot day or whatever the case may be.
If so, in setting that up to where you were there, you went from real estate and started to introduce these other sort of business ideas, call it gigs, call it whatever. You're doing insanely well, but maybe shed a little light on what that transition from that, and what you went to, and why you've landed on the career, like not careers, but like the income sources.
Like whatever the heck I'm
now.
Doing. Yeah.
Because there's multiple, but paint that picture.
Yeah. So yeah, I worked in real estate. And then again, I wanted to move and live in Europe. That was the goal. So what the heck am I going to do? I can't sell real estate in Europe, most likely. Although I looked at it into that and I was like, okay, I talked to a real estate company. Your Spanish is not good enough to read a real estate contract. So good luck. It's great that you could build rapport with people and talk a little bit in Spanish, but you can't do a deal in Spanish. I can't work with you. So I was like, okay, need a plan B. Like I need to be able to work and make money if I'm going to live in Europe for a year. So I was like, what do I know how to do? I know how to sell. I know how to market. Like those are things that kind of translate across industry. And then I tried to find like a niche. So I was really targeting female entrepreneurs because, again, I found lots of people were like great at what that thing is, the bakery, whatever, but they didn't know how to market themselves. So I was able to get in with these kind of smaller companies or entrepreneurs that are like, we've got this great idea. We know it's a great idea, but how do we tell people? So I would work with them on that strategy. And that's where that kind of came in too. And then I'm like, this is working. So when we moved back to Canada, I approached it with the same thing. Okay, let's find some different companies where I can offer that kind of sales and marketing approach and see if I can get them more revenue. And that's really been my focus. So that's how I translated.
Yeah, well, that's translated into lots of things. And maybe explain what you are doing with High Class Hustle.
Yeah, so that was really, I built out for when we moved to Spain. I was like, okay, this is it. Like, this is the business. It's focused on women. Like, I want to empower women. I feel like even now, before when I built it out, I wasn't a mom, but it's being a parent, especially a mom, is a game changer, because you want to be with your kids. You want to be near them. You've got to find ways. And for me, like, we're lucky we have a nanny, so I can, between calls, run and see my kids, play with them, whatever. Like, I just feel like they're only this small once, and then they're going to be school age, and then they're part of the system. But yeah, so that was where I focused, was by talking to female entrepreneurs and trying to help them. So that's where High Class Hustle was created, and it's grown from there. Like, I've been approached to help other companies who aren't founded by females, and it's been great. So
yeah, I think, was there a moment when you were in real estate where you were having a good week, like you had a few deals go through and you're like, okay, if I just do this week in and week out for the next 20 years, then I'll just retire. Did that ever cross your mind, or was it always, I'm just going to figure it out?
So I started in real estate when I was young. I was like 19. In fact, when I was like 15 or 16, everyone's trying to figure out what they want to be, because everyone's asking you, what do you want to be when you grow up? And my parents are both accountants, and I knew for what, like, I did not want to be that. So yeah. I was like, okay. And one of our family friends, he was building houses. I thought, well, that's pretty cool. You've got a piece of land. It's nothing. And then it turns into someone's house, which is really cool, because everyone loves their house, or that's like your sanctuary where you spend time with your family. You have Christmas if you celebrate, or whatever, right? So I got into that, and I started working out of a show home when I was 18, 19, and going to school. And I would work out of the show home, and it was always evenings and weekends. And I built my way up to having a career in real estate that way. But I saw, like, I was young, and forgive these people who I worked with, but they were older, like probably 50, 60. And I just remember them still grinding out evenings and weekends and missing things because the client wanted to meet them, and missing things for their kids. And they're like, yeah, it's good money, but you got to find that compromise. And I think I've always been one to go against the grain kind of thing. Like, I feel like there's rules, but it's okay. How important are these rules? Do these rules align with my values? Like, for example, to go back to my parents who worked as accountants for their entire life, have one job, keep that one job. Don't you dare quit that one job, because you got to pay the bills. Whereas, like I told you, I would work a job. If this doesn't work for me, you won't give me vacation. Okay, bye. And I felt like I was the one adding value to these companies or to these people. So it's, you should want to work with me. You should want to give me time off to do these things. And eventually, like, some of the companies would let me go and come back, because yeah, they were like, yeah, we see the value. But I think when there's too much rigidity, you can lose good people, and for not good reason.
Do you notice a feeling of courage when you are making that decision, or when you are setting boundaries for people, or setting boundaries to meet your, like, I'm trying to ask you a question, but not give it away, but like to design the life that you want.
Yeah.
Is there ways that you, like, set up guardrails, and do you notice that you do have to feel a bit courageous when it comes out your mouth and you say it, that you're like, fuck, I might lose this client, and then I'll deal with that.
Yeah, certainly. At the beginning, I think it's harder, but if you've been like, I mean, I've had to say no to some clients or say no to things that just don't quite align. And yeah, sometimes that's a big paycheck that you're like, oof. But like, again, you go back to those values, and I feel like those were instilled in me young, and I've really focused on those as I've grown and grown my own family. Is okay, if this isn't working for us, it's not necessarily us that needs to change. It might be the situation that needs to change. And I think there's like that quote about, it might not be the flower, it's just, is the flower in the right pot and the right sun? Like, it's just, let's try to move that around, because it might, if you have a flower in like the basement, it's probably not going to grow as well as at the front window or outside or whatever. So yeah, that's definitely something I've kept in mind. But to your point, yeah, there's some courage that happens at the beginning, and you're like, you have to say, hey, no, this doesn't work for me. But I think as you do it more, know that in the end, it's probably the best. Or you've said yes, and it's been complete hell, or like, it's gone really not good or pushed your boundaries, and you've got clients calling you at all times of the night or whatever, and you're like, wait, what am I doing? This is not right. So it's not like I've always had these say no or say yes. I think you grow with that. Certain things you say absolutely not. Certain things you're like, okay, this seems okay, and maybe it wasn't. You know what I mean?
What would be top three tools or ideas or guidelines that you set that make the biggest impact in you living the life that you want?
Yeah, so I guess one thing is I schedule everything. So that's a big kind of like tool for me. If it's not in my calendar, it's probably not going to happen. So even from, and it doesn't even have to be in your calendar, like go to gym or go exercise. You just know, like from whatever time in the morning, or if you're a nighttime worker outer, you just know that's the time where you're going to exercise, and you can't book a meeting during that time because then you won't exercise because that was the exercise window. Same thing with like other things, or if your kids have soccer, like you can't book a meeting during that time because that's the soccer time. So for me, I schedule everything. And then even things that are on my to-do list that you're like, they're weighing on your mind. I find if I just put it in my calendar and schedule it, I'm like, okay, I know that's going to be taken care of when the time comes. So that's a big one. It keeps me kind of, like I would say, people say that I get a lot done in not a lot of time. And I think that's because I schedule everything and I like just do it, because if you procrastinate it, you can definitely reschedule things. Stuff happens. Like you can reschedule things for sure. But I find if you just keep working through it, the end goal is either more money or you have more freedom or whatever. Like it's all going towards that. So I would say, yeah, scheduling would be my biggest thing. And again, like I'm a dreamer, so I like to talk things out, and with my family, with Mike, just saying, hey, what do we want to do? What's the next place we want to go to? Do we, like we're talking about, do we want to see new countries? Do we want to live in Europe for a year again? We want to go there just for a summer. We start to see what's happening in the future. And again, then you take those micro steps now in the present to get there.
It takes an insane amount of intention to do that, because you sit down at the table for dinner, kids are nicely sitting there, and you're like, okay, I'm going to bring up this topic, and then boom, and then the kids are fighting, and then you're like, okay, hey, so I want to talk to you about whatever, and it's just not right now. And you're like, get the kids to bed. Okay, we'll talk about it before bed. I'm too tired.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So, that happens all the time. And honestly, it still happens, but we do try to set that intention. Like Mike and I, even for our dates, like we had a date on last week or the weekend before. We're like, okay, where should we go? And he's like, why don't we just go to a coffee shop or something, and we'll just bring our laptops and we'll start to trip plan and look at places and talk about that. So yeah, maybe not the romance, but you can always go to a bar and get a glass of champagne to go with that. But for us, that's it. Like we like to plan these, and then it's something to look forward to, and you can get more aligned with each other. So yeah, some nights we're like, there's no talking. We're exhausted by the end of the day. But some nights we're like, okay, let's take an hour and figure something out or talk something through. Or Mike likes to scroll, and I usually get lots done during the day. So I'll be like, instead of scrolling, can you just look at those things I sent you today? And then we'll talk about it. And he'll say, yeah. And then he'll get back to me that way. So yeah, a little asynchronous communication works too.
Yeah. So some teamwork. Jody and I set a date, well, just more of a meeting to go over our own finances before school was out. Kids were at school still. And we did have to say, okay, today at lunch, and have the binder and an open mind and just talk about stuff. And it's important. What are you finding when you are coaching entrepreneurs as a sort of the 2025 breakthrough that you see, not the masses, but like multiple people that are having like breakthroughs that are of material? What do you have any stories in that regard?
So again, like it's so industry specific. I feel like for me, when I am and working with kind of like these smaller businesses, it really is explosive because they haven't done anything before. So when you start a business, you get your friends and family bought in. That's usually your first go-to, but then you have to expand beyond that. So again, I think a little bit of investing in marketing and sales goes a long way. And I feel marketing and sales really go hand in hand, because if nobody knows about you, there's no one to sell to. So just finding that balance there. But yeah, I would say just one story I could think of. And one of my clients, she set a goal for the first month. She's, I want to double my sales. That's my goal. And I was like, okay. So we worked back what that would take, what she'd have to do every day to achieve that. And so she's okay, I can do this. We're going to invest a little bit in marketing. We're going to do all these things. And then she actually like 4 times her sales in her first month. And she was like, what? Pardon me, but this shit works.
Like,
it really does. So, and then as you get into these larger companies, it does get harder. But I think a lot of it is relationship building, like using your network. That's something that I do a lot. And I'm sure you do as well. It's just, I genuinely want to help people. And that's where the place that I come from with anything is, I'm not saying, oh, what's in it for me? What can I get out of talking to this person? I'm like, what can this person, what value can I offer to them? So I often reach out to people on LinkedIn. I'm like, hey, I'm really interested in your business. If I can help you in any way, let me know. I was talking to someone who has this plant and they're making lithium ion batteries and all this. And I'm just like, okay, cool. Like, how can I help you? And he's actually, there's someone in your network I want to connect with. So I'm like, okay. But then in return, it goes back to the reciprocation rule of sales. If you've ever read anything about sales, that's one thing that you could do is he kind of owes me one. Not that I want one, but genuinely he's, hey, you helped me. Yeah. I like Melissa. She helped me. What can I do for her? And like with sales, it's about the first step. I always say is build rapport. If the person doesn't like you, it's probably not going to work out. And then build credibility. So you're like, okay, who am I? Like, why should I talk to you, Dustin, or you, Melissa? Like, what's your background? Why do you know about this? And then educate those people. Like, this is why you might need this product, or this is why you need financial services or whatever. And then you ask for the sale. Okay, let's go in for it and see if, you know, this is really going to work. So that's the process. So I think the first step is using your network, build rapport with your network so that if they hear someone who needs something that you do, they're going to say, hey, have you talked to Melissa? She can help you with sales and marketing, or she can help you with this. And then it just goes that way.
Yeah. What do you deal with people in British Columbia or all over the place? Alberta, British Columbia?
Yeah, all over Canada. Some clients are like across like the US and nationally. So it just depends on the company and what their needs are. But yeah, across Canada for sure.
Would you see a correlation between Albertans and the Americans for like their like bullishness or go for it attitude?
Yeah, that's interesting. I was talking to someone yesterday and she's from the prairies, like Saskatchewan. She moved to BC. She also lived in Calgary previously. And the work culture is so different. Calgary is very like, she's at lunch, you would have a beer. You might go to the Flames game. That's the culture. Whereas she's like she lives in Vancouver. I would go for like a Pilates at lunch. You would never order alcohol at any like work lunch. Like after work, it might be like a cycling club. It's just much more like health and fitness versus work hard, play hard of the Albertans. But yeah, I guess there's different places where you see some correlations. Like I feel, yeah, but I just think there's still quite a difference between Canadians and Americans just generally or culturally. Yeah. Like I've worked in American companies and Canadian companies, and there's some things that you're like, okay, this is just different. Like good or bad, it's just there's some different things that happen culturally. I would say Canadian companies are much more kinder and care a lot more about like you as the whole person as opposed to you as sales or whatever your role is.
Yeah. I am part of this entrepreneur group, and there is a lot of American business, so entrepreneurs in there, and a lot of guys who sell things to companies. And it is where in my world it's we have a small group of clients and we really try and do a lot of work together. And so it's very foreign to me to like just POs come in or orders come in, and it's just these guys are churning out stuff. Well, this is what my commission is. That's like, well, who is that person? I don't know. It's just a company. And yeah. I'm just one PO. Like they're taking
the
15
yeah.
grand orders for a day or whatever. And it's,
yeah.
Or these consultants that do one morning of training and they're making 20 grand or something. And it's, well, this is a $400 million a year company or whatever. So it's just different.
Yeah.
Just different.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
What are you most excited about right now?
Oh, that's a good question. So personally, I've like shifted this year. I stopped breastfeeding my youngest, which has been like, now I feel like it is time for me. You know what I mean? So I am just excited about that. And then again, because the kids are getting older, we can do these longer trips or try them on new things. Because when your kids are like under 18 months-ish, like two, I feel like on planes, they're terrible. They don't really care. And we don't do screens with our kids like throughout the week, but when we travel, we will for sure. Cause it's like our only crutch to get them to sit on a plane. But when they're young, like 18 months, they don't care about a screen. They want to play. They want to rock. It's just like so much. So I think I'm excited for the opportunities now that my kids are a little bit older, that allows us to go on longer trips and survive them. And then, yeah, just for me, I'm really focusing on kind of my like health and fitness. I always am focused on that, but I think I can like level up my training a little bit more with just more capacity and less giving half of my calories to my kids.
You find it harder as you get older to see meaningful results like as fast as the old days? Like,
I would say, yeah, it's funny because like when you're breastfeeding, you could literally eat whatever you want. So again, I stopped breastfeeding, but I continued to eat whatever I want. And I was like, oh, like this is adding up quicker than I thought. I better go back to focusing on things like the order you eat your food and eating healthy and getting your fitness in and things like that. And yeah, it's definitely harder as you get older. I won't disagree with you there.
Yeah, I did the whole 30 program, which turned into like whole 270 like day or like way longer. And I spent 2-3 months of just like after Europe, I was just going to, oh, well, I'm just going to eat whatever because I ate whatever there. And that was like the finale. Yeah. And I do notice your body composition does change if you're no sugar, no dairy, no wheat, no natural flavors. Like when I was still drinking the odd time, but you do get like materially your body changes. And so,
yeah, certainly.
Yeah. Getting older is you're like, man, I worked out 4 times this week, but
yeah, isn't that enough?
Well, I don't think the workouts are the same as they used to be though, where it's like,
that's
I
true.
Think back in the day, it'd be like a chest and biceps day. You do 4 exercises of chest and 4 exercises of biceps. Yep. Now I go and I'm like 2 exercises of chest, maybe some curls and I'm out of there.
Yeah, you know? I gotta go. I know. I feel like my workout time has also got condensed as yours probably has too with kids and businesses trying to get everything done. And you're like, okay, I need to make this 20 or 30 minutes really like work for me. And but at the same time, you're probably listening to a podcast to try to grow your brain. Like it's just so much multitasking to get done in that short amount of time. But yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, no, I was laying on the leg press machine today. I had like my stocks that I was trading on my phone. Yeah. I had my music playing, but then I also had the market watch on too. And I was literally like pressing on the leg press. I'm like, this is not, and I was fat. I didn't eat breakfast. So I was like, and I was like fasting. So it's like, how many, the camera's changing. How many optimized things are really necessary that's actually making a difference? Like,
I know sometimes multitasking can be good. Sometimes you're like, I don't know if anything's getting done. Is anything getting done? You're barely lifting. You're barely like training. Yeah, it's just one of those things that finding the balance for sure.
Have you done any like blood test stuff or like, this is a deep health tangent, but blood or any scans, like private scans or like not any of that stuff?
I haven't. I'm interested to do like a private scan. I am vegan actually. So I'm pretty strict with what I eat, like generally, and try not to eat too much sugar and not drink so much alcohol as well. But yeah, so definitely like I've went through pregnancy. So you got your blood tests like all the time, but just generally, I haven't done anything of that yet. But I think as I shift into this, like I told you, this gear where I want to really focus on my fitness, it's definitely something that's on my mind. And yeah, have you done any of the MRIs or the scans where they do your whole body?
Yep. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I've done it for a few years, but the blood. And then the last one I did was like a gut biome like kit.
Oh, cool.
Where you send a sample away and they like analyze and they tell you like what all your guts look like basically. And
that's
for the food. So that was a game changer for me. And I've done multiple actually podcasts on it because just the simple act of you see something, you're like, I got to optimize for that. You're like, see someone on Instagram, you're like, oh, I need more vitamin E or I need kefir or I need kimchi. Or it just never ends, right? Because it just constantly comes at you. So then you're like doing this thing and you're like, I wonder if it's even helping. And so again, I don't want to go way down a tangent, but at the same time, like to know that when it came back and it says, hey, like you are on a really high protein diet, which is fine.
True.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're only based on your gut biome utilizing 25% of the protein that you're consuming because your biome is out of whack. It was like, man, we buy organic grass fed, grass finished cows. Yeah. We like, and then
you're
I'm paying for that
the money
and
worth.
Not getting that.
Yeah, exactly.
I like a good deal. I'm like,
yeah,
you.
Exactly.
I don't like...
You gotta optimize that blood microbiome so that meat's
that cow
it work.
Is working. So
that's
and then
I'll have to look into that further.
Yeah. So that was, again, they're not a sponsor or anything, but it was called Gut Check. And
okay.
I actually went and I paid the owner to spend a half hour with me on, they don't do this, but it's all AI generated reports that they send you. But I went back to him and I said, I want to go through this with you. And so the finale of that is I went to the health food store because people say, oh, you need probiotic. Well,
yeah.
Probiotics, if you ever research them, there's so many different strains and so many different things, right? So my report came back with 12 different things that I need to balance things out. But when you go to the health food store, you look at each one, it would have two. Then it would have a whole bunch of other ones.
I've checked that for probiotics and you're like, okay, so I need all of these.
Then you're going to be getting the other ones, which are going to jack those levels when they're already. But when I did find one that was all, like almost all of them, I'm missing maybe two out of 12 and I've got a couple extras, like within a couple days, game changer, mood change.
Interesting.
Like, and I didn't think
I believe it. Like, you are what you eat, truly. And so if you're not absorbing half the stuff you're eating, something that makes sense. I will definitely look into that because that's interesting to me. And I did see you had a podcast. I didn't listen to it yet, but about like biohacking, is that something that you do as well?
Yeah. So, well, I can't remember which one, like cold plunges and like all that kind of stuff, which like right now, I will be super honest. It's like, I'm on a, like a trough of doing them. And I get like in the fall last year, I was cold plunged, no, like whole 30 diet, hot. It's just like all this stuff. And is it really that much different? Maybe.
Yeah. I know that there's different, like with that, all lots of the testing is like male oriented. So as like a female, you have to take that what it is and weed through it. And there's actually some podcasts that are more like women focused for biohacking or even like the cold plunging, which is a part of that. Like it should be a different temperature and like a woman shouldn't do a fasted workout versus a man. Like it would be beneficial for you to do, but it wouldn't be like, I should at least eat something before I work out. So just different things because we're made up a little bit differently. But yeah, I think sometimes women just follow whatever has been recommended because if it's good for the masses, it's good. But lots of the testing is male specific. So something to keep in mind for those women listeners.
Yeah. Well, I hope that comes to fruition of real time testing where, because everybody's different. And so even if someone does a study and then posts it online, it's like, hey, well, this is what worked for me. It's, that might not work for you. Like your body might be different. So it needs to be like blood test. What am I dealing with? And then it needs to be gut of what am I dealing with? Sure. And the next kind of
someone might tell you to eat more protein. You're like, I only get 25% of it.
So I got to pound it in there. Where can people find more information about what you're up to and how they could maybe utilize your company?
So definitely my website, which is highclasshustle.co, or my LinkedIn is available. So you can find me at Melissa Simpson.
Awesome. Melissa, thanks a lot for coming on to Picture Wealth.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, Dustin.